For many people of religious faith, climate change has been elevated to a moral and existential crisis, and a growing number of churches are now taking an active role in the fight against it. Among the leaders in this effort is Reverend Michael Malcolm, founder and executive director of the People's Justice Council in Birmingham, Alabama. Reverend Malcolm also serves as the environmental justice representative for the Southeast Conference, a regional body of the United Church of Christ. Reverend Malcolm, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, Reverend Malcolm, there's been this loose narrative out there that somehow there's a conflict between religion and science over the climate crisis, and your work challenges this idea. You teach that our role as humans is to act as stewards of the earth and the environment, and you call it sustainability and creation care. I'm really fascinated by how you approach this, not only through your activism, but through the pulpit, through the Word of God.
Yeah, so my approach and my theological understanding comes from that of the prophetic heritage. And in the prophetic heritage, there was no distinction. That is exactly what prophets did. They looked at what was happening in society and declared whether or not it was an abuse against the Creator and the creation. And I think that is our obligation as leaders of faith movements, as leaders of communities of faith. It's our obligation to be that spokesman or that watcher on the wall that declares what's going on to the society.
You're a coalition builder, and you are working with lots of other faith leaders to speak to these communities and to work with these communities in order to get these issues to the forefront and to the larger discourse around climate change. What are the big climate issues that you all feel as faith leaders that you need to work together to tackle?
Most of it is driven by a mentality of immorality, because it's greed that's driving this, and it's overconsumption that's driving this. And so what I often try to teach and preach and talk about at tables and in pulpits and wherever I get a platform, it is that we have to address the spiritual and the moral deficiencies that are causing this, which is the greed and the overconsumption. And that's where we land best. But not only addressing this, we have to plant a vision of hope that we can see past this. I can't recall the person that I heard it said from, but I heard it said that climate defeatism is just as bad as climate denialism. Mm. So we have to teach the people that we can still win, while at the same time saying the only way we do win is if we change our societal structures and those societal mechanisms of control and oppression that cause us to be so divided. And we have to work together, and we've all got to get in this fight.
You have your feet in lots of places throughout the South and Southeast, including Alabama, where you're the founder of the People's Justice Council. What are some environmental injustices that you're seeing specifically there?
Yeah, so specifically in Alabama, we see we've got a coal ash issue that's happening now where what we're fighting against. We still have pollutant facilities. We are still one of the highest pollutant states in the Southeast. We've got various other environmental justice issues when it comes down to sewage, when it comes down to the landfills. But honestly, I would be remiss if I didn't say that Alabama is not uncommon to the Southeast. That's why I do what I do.
Do you find that folks in your congregation, that resonates with them, thinking about their behaviors, thinking about the day-to-day ways that they on an individual level and collectively can bring about change?
Absolutely. I have an older mother in my church. We use mother as an endearing term for our older saints in our church. And so Mother Rose McGuire, when I started talking about the environment and talking about climate change and start speaking about climate stewardship and creation care, and my messages start turning toward that. And she became one of my biggest champions because that has been something near and dear to her. And what she did and what I saw was she linked it back to her childhood and remembering how when she was growing up, she grew up and they had a garden and how they were growing their own food. And she remembered the good times around this garden. And so it began to tie back into her childhood, and the land tied into her childhood. And I saw in that, that we, there's something about us marrying ourselves back to the land that will cause us to have better relationships, period.
And I can imagine from your view that also ties to your direct relationship with God.
Absolutely. Well, the way we treat the land and the way we treat people is our relationship with God. Look at society and the way it is now. We are consumers. We see everything as commodity. And we look at people as commodity. We look at land as commodity. We also look at our relationship with God as commodity. We treat God just like we treat the land, and that we just take, take, take. And it's never reciprocal where we ever giving.
Climate change is often politicized as a left versus right issue. And I'm wondering how you navigate this with your congregation and community members.
I'm a bit crass when it comes down to my reply to that, and that it doesn't matter whether you like it or not, whether what where you sit politically or not, you're still affected by it. And there's something you can do not to be affected by it if you get involved. Who you vote on or who you vote for is entirely your business, but if you don't start seeing this land and our relationship with this land and our relationship with God tied to this relationship with the land and the people, it doesn't matter what you who you vote for.
What's next in your fight to not make the Southeast othered and really to bring community together to fight this climate crisis?
I advocate at tables and my feet is everywhere and I'm everywhere, and the message is always the same. You have to allow communities to lead. You've got to listen to communities. Communities need to be at this table. And that will continue to be my message, and that will continue to be one of my biggest proponents of what I do with the People's Justice Council, because I really, really believe in the heart of hearts that environmental justice is the solution to the climate crisis that we face.
That's Reverend Michael Malcolm, founder and executive director of the People's Justice Council in Birmingham, Alabama. Reverend Malcolm also serves as the environmental justice representative for the Southeast Conference. Reverend Malcolm, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
That conversation is part of Covering Climate Now, a global collaboration of more than 250 news outlets around the world. And this note, we'll also be covering the UN Climate Summit in New York next Monday, September 23rd. And ahead of that meeting, the young Swedish activist Greta Thunberg will be leading an international climate strike of kids and adults from at least 150 countries. In a speech at George Washington University, Thunberg urged youngsters to join the strikes on September 20th and 27th.
Activism works. So what I'm telling you to do now is to act. Because no one is too small to make a difference.
Thunberg will hold a rally in New York on Friday, and she'll be joined by hundreds of students from around the country, including many from New York's public schools. They've been given permission to join the rally. And public schools in other cities are also allowing students to demonstrate on Friday. Teachers are being asked to take the opportunity to make this a moment of education on climate issues for the kids. We'll have more on climate coverage this week on Here and Now.